Over the next 5 weeks, as Andrew was saying at the start of the service, I'm going to be laying out for us some ideas of where we think the Lord might be leading us over the next sort of 5 or 6 years particularly, priorities that he might be asking us to set across MIE, things that we perhaps need to give particular attention to, be very intentional in dealing with within the life of our church. This is something that we do periodically. When we study the scriptures, there is a blueprint, if you like, a vision that is laid out for the life of God's people. And, you know, every now and again, it is good just to stop and to ask ourselves, all right, how are we doing against that? You know, are there places where we're doing well? Let's stop and give thanks for that. Are there places where we're out of kilter, places where we're falling short, places where we've maybe lost direction a little bit or lost sight of something that God calls us to be or to do as God's people? And that's all we're doing over the next sort of five or six weeks, really, between now and the end of September. I'm just stopping and I suppose leading us in that process of a reflection. Now, I want to say a few things here. The first is, some of this you're going to be able to anticipate. All right, some of this, when we get to it and we talk about it, it's not going to be a surprise at all. But let me just say, please, try really hard not to prejudge what you think I'm going to say. Okay? All right, we're going to talk about evangelism. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about discipleship and spiritual formation. We're going to be talking about worship and what happens when we gather together as the people of God. We're going to be talking about home groups, what goes on in the life of our fellowship groups together. And even as I'm reading out that list, especially if you've been here as long as I have, which is sort of 6 or 7 years now, believe it or not, you're thinking, yeah, we've heard him talk about this stuff. We're pretty sure we know what's coming. Maybe you do, but please don't try to prejudge it. Because I do think that there will be some things that we're going to be talking about that are going to catch us off guard, that are going to wrong foot us slightly. We're going to hear some things from the Bible that I haven't been expecting as I have been preparing and praying this through. Now, let me just say as well, this isn't how we were originally planning to do this. We were going to have a weekend together at the start of June. We were going to just kind of spend 2 or 3 days worshiping together, talking together, praying together, wrestling this stuff out together in a really intense kind of way. I was also hoping that we would have had a lot more opportunity to talk it through with the PCC and the ministry team before we got to the point of kind of putting it before the whole family of MIE, as it were. But obviously it's been an incredibly disrupted year with lockdown and so on. So we're kind of doing this in the best way that we can given the circumstances. But it's probably worth bearing that in mind and seeing what I'm doing over the next 5 or 6 weeks as giving us a head start on a conversation, some of which still needs to happen. So there's going to be a lot of stuff coming your way, really through things like my blog and the website, which are feeding into and giving information and structure to that conversation, particularly over the next few weeks as we work this through and pray together. Including a series of Bible studies that I've written to go along with this series. The first one is already up on our website, so get that, download that, and please use that in home groups, in fellowship groups, but also in your own kind of devotional life. If you can incorporate at least some of it into that, I think that'd be really helpful, so that as a church, we're immersed in this stuff over the next few weeks. We're praying about it, thinking about it, studying the scriptures on our own as we draw aside to be with the Lord, in home groups as we come together and, you know, discuss it and argue with it and wrestle with it and disagree with it and challenge one another over it. But also then as we gather week by week, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, we're wrestling with these things across the whole life of MIE. Now, in this first few minutes, here's what I want to do. I want to preempt some unhelpful ways that we could be approaching this. All right? Like for example, cynicism. So let me ask you this. How many people are sick and tired of hearing another new vision? Yeah? Whatever part of life we're in. Like, seriously, I mean, I get this at work, you know, there's always a new vision, a new initiative coming down the pipeline. And this is it. This is the silver bullet. It's going to fix everything. And probably over the years in church, we've heard more new visions than we can shake a stick at. You know, over the years, vicars come and go, and every one of them turns up, and they've got a new vision. And we all, like, listen, and we're all involved and engaged, and a lovely vision document is presented, and everything's rebranded, and the website's rejigged, and after a few weeks, it all dies down, and nothing has really changed. And it's been a huge amount of effort and energy, and in real terms, you're left feeling it achieved precisely nothing. And that happens at work, it happens in church, and there is a danger that we can get kind of vision weary and cynical about this whole sort of process. And I kind of want to preempt that, and I want to beg to differ on two counts. The first is this. The first is that, think back to the last time we did this together in 2016. Quite a lot changed after that weekend. Yeah, you know, we planted a church. We set out on the journey to become a single parish. We did a lot of work about being a global church. We did a lot of work around building evangelism into the life of MIE. A lot of the things that we now take for granted and just see as a normal part of our life actually had their genesis in that weekend that we took out in 2016. And, you know, at one level, what we're doing is we are stopping and reflecting before God and saying, okay, where are we maybe out of step with what the Bible says? Where are there areas that we need to grow into what the Bible calls us to be, what the Lord calls us to be through the Scriptures? But I want you to have a confidence that actually we will grow into those things. That things will change. Not on the sort of first Sunday of October, everything is now different. Not like that, but in the sense of setting out some areas where, like I said, we just need to give some very intentional, deliberate consideration. And where we find ourselves not lining up with what the Lord reveals through the Scriptures, then we're going to want to change. Now, I don't want you to panic about that. Right? I don't want you to be anxious about the possibility of change and the prospect of things being done differently as we go forward. You know me, I'm pretty slow and steady. You know, we make haste slowly at MIE. And I understand that slow is a relative concept. From my perspective, we make haste slowly at MIE. But actually, over the years, we have seen God do very exciting things. And he has changed us, because actually that is what happens when we grow. When we grow as individuals, when we grow as a church, things change. But it's a growth. It's not something that's kind of handed down from on high and now we're all going to do it this way. It's something that together we are working out that the Spirit is leading us into. And we grow. Sometimes it almost feels imperceptibly slowly. We are growing by degrees. And then we suddenly realize that actually we've come quite a long way. I mean, you know when you see a teenager in like June or July, and then you see them again in September and October. And they, you know, without even maybe seeing it on a day-to-day basis, a huge amount of growth happens very, very quickly. And I think that's actually the way the Lord works in the life of churches. Almost on a week-by-week basis, we can almost miss the fact that God is growing us by his Spirit. Now, something else I don't want you to think is that I'm standing here with some kind of Messiah complex. That would be ironic at so many levels in a church setting. But sometimes when you hear people talk about vision and setting the course for the future and all that sort of thing, it can sound a little bit like what's really being said is everything that went before was rubbish, but it's okay because I'm here now and everything from this point on is going to be wonderful. All right? Please, please, please don't hear me say this at any level. All right? Long before we were born, God was here at work in the lives of the people who were gathering here week by week to worship Him. And long after we have thrown off our mortal coils, by His grace, God will still be here working through His people who meet here week by week. And our job is to say, okay, in that trajectory, in that big sweep of God's involvement in the life of the church in this place, we are here. What is it that God is calling us to do here and now in order to strengthen and build the life and the worship and the witness of His church in this place at this time? Right? We're not saying everything that's gone before is rubbish. Far from it. And we're not so naive as to think that everything that happens from this point on is going to be wonderful. But we are expecting to see God at work to build and to strengthen His church. One last thing before I sit down. I don't want you to hear this as an ultimatum. All right? I don't want you to hear this as, this is what I'm saying, and if you don't do it my way, I'm out of here. All right? Some of you are like, oh, rats, we were so close. But what I want you to hear this is, as your pastor, I'm standing up here and I'm doing this and I'm saying, look, this is what I believe God is calling me to lead us into in the years ahead. This isn't an ultimatum. This is a commitment. This is a commitment to be with you and to walk with you and to be a part of leading you into what God is calling us to. All right, so I want you to hear this in that sort of way. I mean, I'm not about to jump ship. We might get pushed, and that's a whole different ballgame. But we're not about to jump ship. This is our commitment to be here, to be a part of this, and to lead you into this. I'm already planning when we do this again in about 5 years' time. I've already got some ideas about what we're going to be talking about then. All right, but we'll just stay focused here on what we maybe are hearing God say to us now about how we need to grow in those next 5 years. So in a few minutes, I'm going to come back and tackle a question very, very directly as we get into this whole process, and it is the question of authority. And I'm just going to leave that hanging there for a minute or two and come back and talk about it in a few moments. So, you had a couple of minutes there to get over the shock of the idea of talking about authority within the life of the church. And it is a word that we do sort of react emotionally to. We live in a society and a culture where the concept of authority in many ways seems to have broken down, largely because, one level anyway, it's easy to point at the places where it's been misused and abused. It's also within the life of the church. I think there's been some interesting spiritual and theological movements, particularly over the last 40 to 50 years, that have really undermined the structures of authority within the life of the church. And I would also suggest that in the life of the church, we have seen, and even now we're living in a time when we are seeing the ways in which authority has been misused and abused by church leaders. And so when we come to a question like authority, we're very anxious and cautious and very unsure about this. We can feel very threatened and very vulnerable. But let me just say straight up that the answer to the abuse of authority, the answer to the misuse of authority, is not to ditch authority altogether. It is to instead cultivate a spiritually informed, biblically informed vision of authority and the way in which authority functions in the life of family, in the life of church, in the life of society. Maybe it'll help a little bit if I set it up like this. Over these next few weeks, we're going to be refocusing a little bit on our life together as a church and setting some priorities that we might need to be giving our attention to as we go forward into the future the Lord has ordained for us. So here's the question. How will you hear this? How will you hear this? You see, in a series like this, it can feel like all the pressure's on me. Oh, what's Mark going to say? How's he going to say it? But actually, let's share some of that pressure out here a little bit, okay? Let's be responsible. Because a lot of pressure is on you. How are you going to hear this? I know what I'm going to say. I'm not worried about that at all. But how are you going to hear this? And how are you going to engage with it and respond to it? That's the question I want you to be taking away and reflecting on and praying through over these next few days particularly. And if you look at the Bible study online, this is the subject that the Bible study is really focusing on. See, think about it this way. We heard from the Catechism cat earlier in the service. Such a helpful reminder about Jesus as King, risen and ascended to the place of authority and power and majesty on the throne of God at the right hand of God. Far above, Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and any title that could be given to anyone in this age or in the age to come. It's brilliant, isn't it? It's so important that we realize this. Because I think for many of us, we think about our relationship to Jesus without recognizing the dynamics of authority that are embedded in that relationship. The most basic Christian confession is, Jesus is Lord. That's it. You don't get anywhere until you have learned Jesus is Lord. That is such a deep and revolutionary thing to say that in the Bible we're told that no one can say that unless the Spirit of God has been at work deeply in that person. It takes the Spirit of God to bring us to the place where we can come out with the most basic Christian confession, Jesus is Lord. And that is actually not just about the identity of Jesus, it's about the authority of Jesus. It's about acknowledging that Jesus is King. And that he gets to have the right to tell us who to be, what to believe, and how to live. Right? For Jesus, this is a big deal. I mean, what does he say in the Sermon on the Mount? Many will say to me, you know, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. See, it's not enough just to say the words. We need to recognize the authority of our God to define us. I mean, Jesus asks at one point, doesn't he? Lord, why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, but then don't do what I say? Now, here's the question for us as we come into this series. How does the authority of Jesus get worked into the life of the church? Well, Paul talks about this in the reading that we heard from Fiona earlier in our service from Ephesians 4. What does Jesus do? When Jesus is risen, when he ascends to take his seat at the right hand of the Father, the throne of majesty, what does he do? Well, he embeds into the life of the church certain offices. And he puts people in those offices through whom he will exercise his authority in the life of the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are the people that Jesus gives to the church and who are responsible for building the church up, bringing that church to unity in Christ, helping people to grow into Christ-likeness as they are taught the knowledge of the Son of God. Right? It's interesting. They're all ministries. They're all people who are defined by their relationship to the Scriptures. They're all people who are entrusted with teaching the Scriptures into the life, into the body of Christ. Now, there's a lot we need to say about this, but it comes up in the Bible study. I don't have time to put all the qualifications and checks and balances around that need to be put in place. But let's just say for this morning that when a pastor is faithfully teaching the Scriptures and is leading the church into what the Scriptures teach, that puts incredible responsibility on the congregation of that church. Because what's happening is that through that process, Jesus is leading his church. This is the outworking of Christ exercising his authority. Jesus leads the church through pastors who teach the Scriptures. That's how the authority of Jesus is worked out. It's why in Hebrews, that reading from Hebrews we heard from Anne earlier, consider your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Think about the ministry team at MIE and the PCC. Right, those who you have tasked with the responsibility of leading MIE. Consider them. Those who spoke the word of God to you, who are leading you into a vision of Christian discipleship and of church life that is shaped and informed and defined by the Scriptures. And at the end of that reading from Hebrews 13, did you hear those words that if, and it is a big if, but if that's what your leaders are doing, did you hear what you were called on to do? Did you register it as we went through that reading? That if your leaders are leading you faithfully and in a godly way that is shaped by the Scriptures and enabled by the Spirit, then Hebrews 13 verse 17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. As I, as your pastor, seek to help you grow into Christian maturity as individuals and as a church, you need to have confidence in that, what the Spirit of God is doing in and through us, and submit to our authority. As, like I said, if I had longer to talk about this, there'd be all kinds of things I'd want to say around that, to guard it, to check, to balance it, to make sure that it stays shaped the way Jesus wants it to stay shaped. I'm not inviting us to naivety or gullibility or to some kind of cult-like thing, but if what we say over these next few weeks is demonstrably taken from the Scriptures, then I want to suggest to you the question of authority is an important one for MIE to engage with. Because as we unpack this, the temptation that many of you will feel is to simply politely decline to be involved. It will be so easy to simply shrug some of this stuff off as, oh, that's just Mark's opinion. There is a tendency to passivity, disinterest. You know, I've spent years negotiating my relationship and my involvement in the life of the church, and I'm not going to change it now. This works for me. So I'm not going to start doing things differently. And the temptation will be to just disengage. Or just carry on doing our own thing the way we want to do it and the way we've always done it. Have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authority. Be careful as you engage with this personally, as fellowship groups. I want you to just be very, very careful about how you do this. Because, well, just a couple of days ago, we were reading in our Bible read through Jeremiah 42 and 43. Do you remember what happened there? The people of God, they come to Jeremiah and they say, go to God, pray for us, and come and tell us what God says. Which sounds really encouraging, especially when they then say, and we will do whatever God tells us to do. Do you remember this? And so Jeremiah goes, seeks the face of God, comes back and says, okay, this is what God says. And do you remember the response of the people? You're a liar. That isn't what God says. We're not going to do that. And it's just so quickly we go from, well, yes, of course, you know, if this is what the Bible says, if this is what God says, of course we'll do it. Okay, well, let's look at this specific thing. Oh, we're not doing that. It's so easy to have a kind of in principle idea. Of course we would do whatever God told us to do. All right, well, let's look at what the Bible says about the corporate life, prayer life of the church. Oh, well, I've got so many reasons why I couldn't possibly come to a prayer meeting. Let's talk about evangelism. Oh, well, so many reasons why I could never talk to the people I know about Jesus. Well, let's talk about fellowship and what fellowship means and how that gets worked out in our fellowship groups. I've been saying that for 7 years, and still over half of MIE is not in a fellowship group. I've been calling us to corporate prayer for 7 years, and over 90% of MIE has never been to a corporate prayer meeting. Have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authority. If I am fulfilling the criteria for authentic leadership within the life of MIE. And that is a big if, and I take that on board. And if what I am calling us to in these next weeks is in fact something that is informed, shaped, defined by the Scripture's teaching, then I want to ask you how you will engage with that. How you will hear it, how you will respond to it. Will you just quietly ignore what I'm saying is just my opinion and just quietly get on with our own things? Because that could be quite dangerous. How will you listen and engage over these next weeks? I'm going to leave you with that question to ponder, pray about, and to study using the Bible study that's on the website. This is a question we need to settle as a church.